Hi guys, this is Dillis.
Hello everybody, this is Jacob Minan.
And welcome to another episode of the Let's Talk podcast. Today, Jacob and I are going to be going into the second chapter of the third section of my book, Fighting the Good Fight. So this chapter is actually chapter 14, and it's growing the fruits of wisdom. But before we do that, Jacob will start by leading us in a word of prayer. And of course, today he drew the lucky straw, so he's going to read for us.
Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. O Lord, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, granted by the same Spirit who may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Chapter 14, Growing the Fruits of Wisdom. Scripture passage. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1, verse 17. Our journey in faith is often marked by growth and transformation. As we draw closer to God, we start to take on his likeness and adopt his divine attributes. One such attribute that God desires for us to cultivate is wisdom. Wisdom is more than just knowing things. It's about applying knowledge with discernment, love, and humility. This wisdom is a gift from God that has the power to impact not only our lives, but also the lives of those around us. The Apostle Paul prayed fervently that the Ephesians would be blessed with the spirit of wisdom. And this is a prayer we ought to pray for ourselves as well. When we walk in wisdom, we're able to discern God's will for our lives and the lives of others. We become better equipped to show love, grace, patience, and kindness to those around us, reflecting the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Each fruit listed here is a direct outcome of living a life steeped in divine wisdom. Wisdom informs love, enabling us to love others with a selfless and understanding heart. It enhances our joy, helping us to find contentment and happiness in God's blessings. Wisdom guides us towards peace, leading us to live harmoniously with others. It promotes peace, reminding us of God's perfect timing. It encourages kindness and goodness, urging us to act benevolently towards others. Wisdom fosters faithfulness, deepening our commitment and loyalty to God. It cultivates gentleness, teaching us to interact with others with grace and humility. And finally, wisdom undergirds self-control, helping us to resist temptation and live in accordance with God's commands. Imbued with the spirit of wisdom, a wife in her vocation can effectively nurture and manage the household, acting as a supportive partner to her husband and a loving guide to her children. Wisdom guides her in making prudent decisions and responding thoughtfully to challenges, allowing her to serve her family effectively. The spirit of wisdom empowers her to understand her husband's needs, communicate with kindness and patience, and model Christ's selfless love. Similarly, the spirit of wisdom helps a husband in his vocation by enabling him to fulfill his responsibilities as a provider, protector, and spiritual leader of his family. Wisdom equips him with the discernment to make sound decisions, the strength to protect his family, and the insight to lead them towards a Christ-centered life. It also helps him to understand, respect, and appreciate his wife's contributions, promoting mutual respect and love. In this context, the spirit of wisdom can create room for unity and harmony between married couples. It fosters effective communication, mutual understanding, and unconditional love, helping couples to overcome disagreements, manage conflicts, and strengthen their relationship. Moreover, it guides them in maintaining a Christ-centered marriage, allowing them to experience and express the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that are the fruits of the Spirit. Through the Spirit of wisdom, married couples can contribute to their respective vocations in a way that glorifies God, promotes unity, and nurtures a strong, harmonious, and spiritually rich marriage. Applying this wisdom in our relationships, especially in our marriages, can bring about a transformation that we might not even believe possible. It can convert mundane moments into opportunities for divine revelation. With wisdom, we can better understand and meet the needs of our spouse. We can navigate conflicts with grace, communicate with love and patience, and create a marital bond that mirrors Christ's love for the church. Reflection question. How have you seen the Spirit of wisdom working in your marriage? Can you recall specific instances where wisdom guided you towards love, peace, patience, or any of the other fruits of the Spirit? In what ways do you need to grow in wisdom in your relationship? Are there areas where you struggle to apply wisdom? And how can you invite God to help you in these areas? How can you actively seek and cultivate wisdom in your daily life to benefit your marriage and exemplify the fruits of the Spirit more abundantly? How has the Spirit of wisdom helped you to better understand and meet the needs of your spouse? Can you share examples? In what ways can you work together as a couple to make wisdom a cornerstone of your relationship, promoting unity, harmony, and a Christ-centered marriage? Action step for the week. This week, set aside time each day to pray together, specifically asking for the Spirit of wisdom in your marriage. Identify one area in your relationship where you need wisdom: communication, decision-making, resolving conflicts, etc., and actively apply the divine wisdom you've prayed for in that area. Notice the changes and share your experiences with each other at the end of the week.
Thank you, Jacob, for that read. So today we're focusing on chapter 14, but before we go on in talking about what we think that couples today should focus on, I would like to catch people up that are new. If you're new to this, please take the time to listen to the last 15 podcasts. This will be the 16th. There's a forward and an introduction. So we are currently in the second chapter of section 3 of the book, which is on growing the fruits. And the reason why we need to grow good fruits is because that's what helps us to be better partners to each other, to fulfill this vocation of marriage. And prior to this section of growing good fruits, we talked about the section of the bad fruits that we already have, that we've grown over the years, and how we need to prune. God helps us to take them away by pruning them through the hardships that he puts us to, or sometimes what we see as disappointment are just his way of helping us to be able to remove that impatience or the different fruits that we've gotten over the years, right? The different bad fruits. So the bad fruits, the good fruits, are what we just finished the bad fruits. Now we're talking about the good fruits. And why does this matter? Because this is how you become predisposed when you have enough of the good fruits and have pruned yourself or are pruning yourself of the bad fruits. You're giving space for what you need to come into your marriage, for your marriage to work, which is the Holy Spirit, which is chapter 4 of this book. It talks about the cord that binds, and both of you need the Holy Spirit so you can follow Paul's advice to submit to each other. Like he says to the Ephesians, he says, submit to each other. Wives, submit to your husband through respect, and husbands, submit to your wives through love. So in that aspect, when you submit to each other, understanding what you're submitting to, there's an authority there. And chapter 2 talks about the authority that God gives in marriage. It comes, the man has that authority, the wife respects it, the man exerts the authority through love, right? And all of this matter because it is very important for you too, when you get together as husband and wife, to set a vision and to know what your vision for your family is. A lot of people miss the aspect of their vision because they tend to misplace or they tend to misunderstand their purpose for their mission in life. And so the introductory chapter goes to the difference between your mission and your purpose and how this plays a role to help you set a very good and bright vision for your family to follow. That said, let's come back to our chapter of today, which is growing good fruits. And the scripture today tells us that one of the good fruits we need, and Paul is praying for the Ephesians to grow, is the fruit of wisdom. And it goes into saying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And this one is, Paul is talking about more of the wisdom to know God, right? Which is one of the things wisdom helps us to do. But today, Jacob and I are going to focus primarily on how wisdom helps you in your relationship.
So thanks, Delis, for that summary. And hopefully those that are listening to our podcast for the first time this year, you're well caught up. And if you've not yet purchased your copy of your book, please try to get a copy of your book, Fighting the Good Fight, because it reading as well as following the podcast is is complementary. Doing just one and not the other, you're missing half of the food. So now, what is wisdom? The wisdom, in fact, is actually a gift. We know in normal parlance, most of the time we talk about wisdom in terms of age and how people get wiser as they grow older. But in reality, it's a gift from God, and you can have this gift at any age. And what this gift really endows us with is with the power to impact not just our lives, but the lives of people around us. So you can only tell that somebody is wise because of the influence that they have in people around them and not so much how their own lives are going. And so wisdom is not just knowing things, obviously, as I mentioned, it's also applying knowledge. But how do you apply knowledge, which is what stands out? It's applying knowledge with discernment, with love, and with humility, and humility being a very important piece of it.
Yeah, I think that the aspect about wisdom being a gift is very important for us to focus on, so that people realize that unlike the fruits that we can cultivate, the gifts are very different. When a gift is just given to you, and it's that gift that the Holy Spirit gives to you, and you can ask for it. And the book of Kings tell us about Solomon that asked for gifts. He asks for the gift of wisdom, and God just gives it to him. And so just like Solomon, you and I can ask for this gift and we can truly receive it, which makes the difference between us just knowing things and applying that knowledge wisely, right? And so when you receive this gift, number one, you're better able to discern God's will for your life and for the life of those around you. So you're going around, what does discernment look like, right? You meet someone and you're talking to that person, and through the wisdom, the gift of wisdom, you're better able to know that, oh, this person truly is talking about this, but they're worried about this other thing.
Being able to separate people's wants from their needs, and from their needs being more important, right? Yeah. And most of the time, it's easier for us to express what we want because it doesn't demonstrate our vulnerability, or it doesn't expose our vulnerabilities. But our needs will expose our true vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And so a husband and wife are truly connected when they're more willing and open to expressing their needs to each other, being willing to be vulnerable to each other. Mm-hmm. But until then, the gift of wisdom can also help you to discern and differentiate between those two. That it doesn't matter how long somebody's talking about that one, you can be able to see underneath
they're trying to express. Right. Yeah. And it helps us to better reflect the gifts of the fruits of the Holy Spirit now that we're meant to cultivate in us, right? And this reflection, like the book goes through, the chapter goes through today, it talks about how you reflect these fruits of the Holy Spirit. Like wisdom informs love. What does that mean? You'll be better able to know that, okay, this that I'm doing for this person would would communicate to this person the love that I have for them, the love of God, the love for me too, right? It enhances joy, right? When you've done it correctly, I don't know if I was mentioning to you just now or before that you can know that a child has done something wrong. You go to correct that child, but you end up stealing the joy out of that situation because by the time you're done correcting the child, even you feel bad about the way you've corrected the child.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. So it enhances your joy because if you use wisdom in applying that knowledge, in teaching that child knowledge, you're better able to see that made a difference in that situation.
Yeah, so you're able to still do the things that everybody wishes to do. People wish to be able to correct their kids. People wish to be able to correct their spouses. People wish to be able to teach their kid. We wish to be able to teach their spouse something. But it's the way they go about it that you might end up, instead of ending up with a joyful situation or enhancing joy, as you're pointing out here, for the child, you end up creating a situation where the child is resisting. Mm-hmm. Right, the correction or resisting the lesson.
And from your spouse,
you end up in acrimony, you end up with a back and forth because mm-hmm. you end up with a situation where your wife either says you're belittling her or the husband says that you're disrespecting him because mm-hmm. you mangled your words. You don't have the wisdom to be able to communicate properly, both using your nonverbal cues and your choice of words.
Yeah.
The setting, the timing, all of that, it takes wisdom.
And of course, when you do all that right, that's how you know that wisdom has guided you towards peace.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's promoted patience in you. Yeah. Like it helps you to build a lot more patience. It's able to open your eyes to see that, oh, even though my husband has been talking about this, this is truly his need. So let me be patient with him. Right. Let me be kind towards him, even though he is at this level and it's so frustrating for me to have to deal with him at this level, but this is truly his handicap because wisdom opens your eyes to see it that way.
I encourage that genuine goodness. Yeah,
you can be kind, you can be good, you can just be a good person towards that person, right? And then it fosters faithfulness. Right. And this is a lot of these fruits, right? It's also towards God as it is towards each other. And I think that the central theme about this book, Fighting the Good Fight, it's taking these things that we've been taught in life to think of them as only sent towards God and putting it back in the context of use these things in your life. God gave it to you for a reason. It's so that you can take these fruits, you can grow them in you, and you can be faithful towards each other. It can enhance your ability to be faithful to your spouse, to your vocation as a mother, to your vocation as a wife, to your vocation as a sister,
as a parent. Mother.
It helps you to be able to build that relationship and, of course, cultivate gentleness in you. Right.
Because we human beings were inherently relational and so the best way you can manifest the gift through its fruits is through your relationships. The primary one that Liz is really focusing on in this book being your marriage.
Yeah.
And of course, wisdom also undergirds self-control.
Yeah. Because it's truly from a wise point of view that you see that
I don't need that second glass of wine.
Yeah,
I don't need that extra spoon of that very delicious jello rice or the extra slice of cake. So it's not telling you not to have the good things in life, but knowing when to stop and not just splurge because the thing is good.
Because for me as a wife, right? Wisdom helps me to nurture and mature and
manage your
manage
household.
My home, right? Mm-hmm. And this is just by helping me make those very prudent decisions, right? I respond very thoughtfully to the challenges that come, and I'm not very impatient with them. I'm not too haughty about it. I don't try to correct out of just hatred or out of anger.
Frustration.
So those are some practical things for me as a wife to you, right? Wisdom helps me support you. Why? Because then I can understand truly your need instead of just looking at your actions and seeing your wants and getting frustrated about it. I can understand your need. And I think that for me as a wife also, it helps me to lovingly bring my children up, right? By just communicating that kindness, that patience, and of course, emulating Christ-like teachings to them. Mm-hmm. And if I did not have wisdom, I wouldn't be as effective at doing some of these things. Of course, they are always a work in progress, right? For all of us, I wouldn't be as effective at doing some of these things as I am today.
Right. And so as a husband, I'm borrowing from what you've articulated in this chapter of the book, wisdom really helps me to fulfill my responsibilities. And I think you very nicely spelled that out into three key responsibility areas for me as a husband, which is that of being a provider. And as a provider with wisdom, I have discernment to make sound decisions. Secondly, my role as a protector. And that's kind of like an assumed expectation for men. But what wisdom does is that it gives me the strength to protect my family, okay? And doing just the right things that it doesn't end up with a backlash instead. And then very lastly, but more importantly, which has to do with the spiritual aspect of it, is that as a husband, then wisdom helps me to be a good spiritual leader for my household. So it gives me that insight to lead the family.
Yeah. And it's important that when you think about it from the different perspective, I'm trying to get to our couples to be able to, as you read through these things in the book, think about it from your perspective of how does this help me? Do I have this gift? And if you don't, go on your knees like Solomon did and ask God to give it to you.
Be endowed with the gift of wisdom.
Yes, and you see it, and then you can think to how do I apply it? How have I generally applied this gift as a provider, as a protector, as a spiritual leader in my family? And if any of them is lacking, this is not the time to fold your hands and say, "Oops, Dillis, thank you very much, but I'm lacking in this." No, this is the time to dig deep, to ask for those, and to start using it. Because there's one thing to be gifted with something, and there's another thing to use the gift you were given. A lot of us are gifted, but we don't use the gifts we're given. And so if we're both using the gifts, Jacob, you're using yours, I'm using mine, then you can see that as a couple, wisdom is helping us to create that room for unity and harmony with us.
Yeah, right? And as you pointed out, it really helps us to maintain a Christ-centered marriage. It fosters that effective communication, because then you can tell somebody's needs from their wants, even though they might be articulating a want. Mm-hmm. You become, you're more effective at mutual understanding. And you should be able to, because of wisdom, we're able to more clearly express unconditional love. Love that's not dependent on somebody earning it by doing anything.
And of course, vice versa.
Right, it helps
we can
us to
overcome those disagreements, right. Those times of disagreement. You can truly just say, "Huh, I can't count how many times I've been like heated," and then something says, "Dilly, stop now." And I know that that's the spirit of discernment. It's Dilly, stop now.
Right.
And I can stop. And I know that, okay, this is the point to stop. But a lot of us don't know that point to stop. We go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Being able to de-escalate and realize that you're not losing anything. It's not a competition. It's not about winning or losing. It's either you win together as a couple or you lose together as a couple, as a family.
Yeah,
and so with wisdom, it's easier for you to overcome and manage conflicts. And of course, overall strengthen the marriage relationship.
Yeah. So as you go through all of this as a couple, talk about how you've been able to use wisdom in your marriage. Have you been able to bring it in personally for yourself as a spouse and also as a couple? Mm-hmm. And again, like I'm saying, if there's some of these things that you don't find that you're doing, that doesn't mean you don't have the gift. It just means you're not using it.
You're not applying.
So start accessing it, start applying it. And if you truly think, "Oops, I'm missing this gift," take a page from from Solomon's book.
Yeah, so you should pray for the gift of wisdom.
Yeah.
But also know that when you fall, it's not necessarily because God has not endowed you with this way, because even King Solomon, the wisest of all, you can read instances where you can tell that he made some very dumb moves.
Mm-hmm.
So which means that even when you're endowed with this gift, you as a human being, you're still vulnerable to make dumb moves. You are not very conscious and spiritually grounded, so that you can be able to be using the discernment that comes with this gift.
Yeah. So we've come to the end of this chapter. Before we go, Jacob would do the prayer.
Yes, please. So let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of our marriage and the love we share. As we journey through this week, we ask for your spirit of wisdom to guide our thoughts, words, and actions. Help us to reflect the fruits of the Spirit in our relationship. Strengthen our bond and enable us to understand and meet each other's needs with grace and patience. Teach us to navigate conflicts with love and create in our marriage a reflection of your selfless love for the church. May our lives glorify you and promote unity and harmony in our home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. We've come to the end of this podcast. Listen up for Tuesday next week. We will be doing the podcast on chapter 15, which will be growing the fruits of understanding. It's going to be an interesting one because it would give you that differentiation between wisdom and understanding, and the
it's also the gift of knowledge coming up. So those three really,
yeah.
It is also a struggle about differentiating them. It's like your very opening chapter that talks about mission, vision, and purpose,
sure,
where people also struggle with distinguishing what those three even mean,
yeah.
And what was with here. But exciting chapter coming up, chapter 15, growing the fruits of understanding next Tuesday.
Yeah, but before that, join us this Thursday at 9 p.m. for the live chat. And any couple out there that would like to come on, I know I meet a lot of you guys and you say, oh, work or something didn't get God in the way. Jacob and I are flexible. If you would like to come on, text us. We can try to work around the schedule. And if you have a question, submit it on this link right after this, and we'll be able to take up your question during the live chat on Thursday.
And at that live chat, obviously, we expand and get more in-depth into this topic of the gift of wisdom. And if you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on YouTube, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And finally, most importantly, click on the bell button. That way you get alerts so that you get alerts immediately. The podcasts are released every Tuesday.
Thank you, guys. And have a wonderful day. Talk to you all on Thursday. Let's talk about love.